Good morning. It is 10:03 on January 14th, 2025, and this is the regular meeting of the Groveland Community Services District Board of Directors, which we will call to order with the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the Republic, which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
I'll take a motion to approve the order of agenda.
I'm sorry, are we
going to call roll call?
Oh, sorry, roll call.
That's okay.
Okay, you're so good.
We have to hear first.
Silly thing.
Yes, yes.
Director Salon.
Present.
Director Armstrong.
Present.
Director Edwards.
I'm here.
Director Klykowski.
Present.
Right, yeah, of course.
Okay, now I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I make a motion that we approve the order of the agenda.
I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion and second to approve the order of agenda. Is there any discussion?
Oh,
great. Anything want to change in the agenda? All in favor?
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Since we're on Zoom, but we don't have anybody. We don't have a board number, so we don't have to do roll call.
No, we don't. Okay. That's only a favorable
okay, so
board number. It's only
order of agenda is approved 4-0. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting, if there are one, and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on the usual topic. Although no action can be taken on items that are not listed on the agenda, please know that we are listening carefully to all your comments. We have several ways that you can submit comments during the meeting. The first of which is to send an email to board@gcsd.org, and we will be looking for those at the time that the chair calls for comments on each item. You can also use the Zoom platform, the comment function, or raise your hand, and we'll look for that as well.
Are there any public comments at this point, any general topics within the jurisdiction of the board? Seeing or hearing none, we'll move on to the information items. First off, staff reports and welcome.
Hello, Travis Sherman, Fire Captain from the Groveland Fire Department. This is our staff report for the month of December 2024. And as far as operations, on December 1st, GCSD engine 781 and Pawling County engine 902, which was their reserve engine, went to a vehicle accident on Highway 120 where a vehicle crashed into a tree. There's a picture there of the vehicle. Also on December 14th, the same engines, as well as CAL FIRE engine 4466 and 4476, as well as neighboring resources from MMU, responded to a structure fire on Rolf Road. And when the crews arrived, they found the garage on fire. Fire was quickly contained, and the cause is under investigation. December 30th, GCSD engine 781 and Tuolumne County engine 902, along with one CAL FIRE engine from Groveland, responded to a vehicle accident on Priest Grade, where a vehicle was on its roof and the patient had minor injuries.
Oops.
Yep.
So,
all vehicles are currently in service, and some of the additional training that we did on in the month of December, FAE Martinez attended Instructor 2 class, FAE Renee Herrera attended Safety Officer class, and FAE Stone attended Rope Rescue Awareness slash Operations. We also had some battalion training in the month of December, which emphasized rope rescue. And there's a picture on the next page during that training. And I've always made the claim that we have the most rope rescues in the county due to pre-spraying. So that's a good topic for us to train on. And then as far as fire department news, after our extrication tool service, it was noted that we had an extension for our RAM that is kind of an older style model, and they've done an upgrade since then. So they replaced our older style model with the new version, which has some improvements. So that's good news. And then also during the holidays, we had a family that visited us from Alameda, and the two girls got a tour of the station. We got a picture of Casey Stone there with the girls at the conclusion of their tour. And then in the month of December, we had 48 calls, one of which was that vehicle accident on Priest Grade, which was aid to Tuolumne County. And then the moment everyone's been waiting for, the call totals for the year, 2024. It's always fun to see. We had 511 calls in the year, which is a little below average when we look at the years past. And the TCFD engine located at Station 78 had 261 calls in the year of 2024. And that concludes my report. If there's any questions.
Is it 261 in addition to the 500?
So some of those are, that's every time they went on a call. Mm-hmm. So some of those could be calls that were with us. And some of them are also calls down in like Sonora, Jamestown, when they get brought down to,
right,
cover in that area. Mm-hmm. Yep. So all that combined.
Okay. But we're still looking at apples to apples when we look at the total incidents over the period of time, right? It's not that the county calls have been removed from those numbers.
The 511 is that's the calls that 781 or the GCSD engine went on. So that's not including the county calls that the county engine went on by themselves. So those are roped into their numbers, the 261. So we could get that.
I'm just wondering, let's roll the clock back 3 years or 2 years, before the county engine was here. Are we still looking at the same numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to, break that down, but I think traditionally when we were running all the county calls, it was about 15%. So if we were doing 600 calls in a year, 15% of that might have been county calls. So I am 10 to 15%. So I imagine that we're still in that same ballpark. It's just we did 511 and they ran the county calls. So it's probably still the same call totals overall. It's just the county calls aren't reflected in our numbers, if that makes sense.
With the 511, there could be like mutual aid to the county. They're on a you can get a substitute call.
Yeah, the county. Absolutely. Yep.
I guess I'm just looking at if, sorry, I didn't contact you about it before. If the county was to pull their engine, our calls would go up.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Because
when we're looking back in history at the total calls from back in 2022,
mm-hmm.
We could still be going up. We don't see that because now it's been separated out.
Exactly. Right? It's not perfectly apples to apples because the county calls that they went on are not reflected in our total. So if they weren't here, we might have been at 610 this year, or 600.
Which would have been closer to 2022.
Yep.
I may have to add, somehow just so that we can make sure we're not missing it, because we don't want the numbers to be under reported when it comes and have conversations with the county about whether they're in the stage or not.
Yeah, and of their 261, we should probably break out, you know, which of those were calls up here in Groveland in the county area,
which would right.
separate right. from them going down to Jamestown, that type of thing.
Yeah, that would probably be the most useful, actually, to see how they're using the same criteria that would have been if it was just a one engine with two right. people. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like things are going well, but it'd be nice to be able to talk about that. Cool. Okay. Thank you. CERT.
Good morning. We're getting things organized for 2025. One of the things we're working with Rachel here is to get the CERT basic training. Well, we want to do that in the first quarter. We have Baltimore County providing us 25 backpacks. They're worth about $150, $60 a piece. We have First Light Resorts, which is Firefall, said that they will give us the training space, their event hall, and they will put the instructors up for the entire weekend and feed them. For us, we have the student manuals. I think they're
going to be having a nice time.
15. Yes, exactly. So we're only need the funds for some incidentals and for the instructors. So we'll submit that by February 1st and hope to have that approved by the Sonora Area Foundation. If so, we'll get between probably 25 to 40 students in that training. So that ought to give us a big pop in the number of trained people that are here. The Groveland CERT is partnering with the Red Cross and CAL FIRE. You guys have heard of that outfit. For smoke detectors, March 15, our goal is to install somewhere between 100 and 200 smoke detectors. And the challenge between now and then is to figure out who gets them. There'll be teams of three people, one firefighter, one Red Cross person, and one CERT person to go to each home and install the smoke detectors. So we talked about this last quarter, but now when we're going to start doing this. So one of the things that GCSD can do is to find people that you think are your customers that you think would be appropriate to have smoke detectors. I was talking with the Red Cross about putting out publicity for it, and she said, no. We as soon as you say we're going to do install free smoke detectors, we'll have Elon Musk showing up saying he wants a free smoke detector. So we're relying on different organizations to figure out. So however you might figure, whether it's somebody that has a hard time paying the bills, their bills, so maybe we can infer that they might be a candidate to get smoke detectors. These are smoke detectors with 10-year battery life, and there's up to four per house. So the Red Cross is pretty well organized in this, and our target date is March 15. Southside Senior Little House is going to be collecting all the addresses, and then we'll assimilate them together and map out where we want to go. And so that's, again, that's March 15th. And so, it's a team of a firefighter and a CERT member and a Red Cross member. The list of CERT meetings is on the handout sheet you have. The trainings we'll be doing this year are a helicopter landing zone. We'll revisit and do the firefighter rehab and do the exercise that we had discussed last year, and traffic control with the CHP. We're going to be partnering with the safety committee of Pine Mountain Lake to sponsor four workshops in 2024-2025. Those are what we call wildfire preparedness workshops. We have two in the fall, two in the spring. Last year, we had collectively over 200 people locally, and I think I'd be safe to say that the consciousness of being wildfire prepared has risen in the state.
That'd be a safe estimate.
Pardon?
That'd be safe to say.
Yeah, and so we want to take advantage of that momentum. They'll be in one of the facilities locally. They'll be either at the church or at Lake Lodge or at Tuolumne Trails. So we don't want to spend the money for the Resilience Center. There's no way we can get it for free because we haven't stolen the passcode.
Squatters.
Yeah. But anyway, well, that's the one where we have animal control, CAL FIRE, the Sheriff's Department, Red Cross, CERT, all of these various entities come together. You're stuck over here by me, but God gets that damn hat on.
How dare you wear that hat?
Yeah.
Nice hat.
They got cool hats. Anyway. The CERT has been pretty busy with the Southern California fires. I asked Rachel to show us a couple of pictures of the CERT there. The best estimate is there are a few hundred CERT members in Southern California that are working a variety of jobs. They're supplying first aid. These pictures are of operating a supply depot. So this is water, snacks, batteries for radios, a whole host of things, and they're basically operating that along with one or two of the firefighters in LA Fire Department that normally would doing that function. So also they're busy running errands, which takes me back to more years ago than I'd care to admit, but my explorer post in Glendale was part of the Crescenta Cañada Mountain Rescue Auxiliary. And so we got to run errands. And a way cool errand I got to run when all of the Angeles National Forest was on fire was I got to drive all the way down into Los Angeles and pick up two cases of batteries and drive them back. And the coolest part was I had this thing that when I got to the Highway Patrol, I said, see, and I could drive through. So,
this is pre-college age?
During.
During college.
Yeah, these were explorer posts.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway, so it brings back.
You've always been a little rebellious then.
I have been. I have been causing trouble for a great number of years. Anyway, those are the kinds of things that CERT has been doing, and our objective here is to get more members and be more ready to handle this kind of thing. That's it.
Thank you.
Nice report, Bob.
Pardon?
Nice report, Bob.
Thank you.
The operations manager report.
Morning. So, water side of things, we have one main break out there off of the Unit 7 area that did affect quite a few people, but the guys jumped all over it. We were able to get it fixed relatively fast. So, people were only limited to water being at like 20 PSI for a couple minutes. So, sewer side of stuff, pretty routine through the last month. And then I guess we just go right into the projects. Tank and pipeline coming down from Harper and Black Road area is they made good headway. They're probably almost completed with the pipeline itself. They'll have to, you know, disinfect and bring up the residual and do the pressure tests and all that. But it's pretty much laid out and in the ground. So we'll have some paving and stuff to do and the final tie-in. But they're pretty close to wrapping up the pipeline itself. The tank side of stuff, they, with the weather and stuff like that, they kind of don't have that completed yet. They're doing the foundation part of it. They did take out the old 140-gallon tank. they broke the bottom out and started kind of filling that area in, so they can compact everything and get the base of the new tank to set. So there's still some work to be done on that side of stuff, but it's moving along pretty well. The headworks project, it's pretty much done. We have a couple of punch list items that we're working on, trying to get through. One of them with the manufacturer for the flow meter, and then the screens themselves. One screen is kind of like off-centered or out of sync with itself when it's spinning, and so it's kind of rubbing and making a noise. So we have, I should shot myself in the foot by telling Brandon, yes, it'll be 11 o'clock today, but that's not going to work out. But we're supposed to have a conversation with the manufacturer on that. Can we send a video of the information or of the equipment running? And so we'll get that resolved and everything will be, good to go on that. But screens are working, they're moving. Nice and clean inside that building compared to the old one. We haven't seen any kind of cake come out of it yet, which is weird. You can see it in the pipe, but it's taken that long to get anything to push out of it. So it's compacting it very well. And the water fill station out here, we're doing pretty well on that. They got the hose reel that they got to adapt to the outside, so you can actually use a 1-inch garden hose out the side to fill smaller bottles. They still got to come and cut the hole and put the mounting bracket and the retractable hose that comes out of that into that system, and then we can do the startup on it. We can contact the manufacturer to see if they want to do the startup or if we can just turn it on and get that system up and running. Wastewater sewer project, it's still kind of in limbo right now, waiting to get some more information back to the contractors on doing some of the additional work that we're wanting to complete. And so we're still working on that part, but the main project is complete. So park project. Pretty much wrapped up on that. And there's a couple of little items, but I get the fence fixed. And I did have a gentleman come out and look at that. And so we'll get that tied in so it's not just locked down by the bathroom there and get it all cleaned up.
I heard from Becker Signs too, and they're wrapping up their last final draft of the fire department sign. And once I have that, then they're going to ship all of them together at the same time. So it should just be a couple weeks today.
Nice. Well, that's good to know. We'll get that on the kiosk and all the little informational boards around that we would install. So we'll have some good information on that. Side note is, I don't know when, are we moving the Yards bus stop? Or are we going to take that out? Or are we leaving it where it's at? That's one thing that we need to look at.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay, so
we need to move all the way? Hmm? Oh, I thought it was relocating.
Well, no, I mean, we're removing it from where it is. There's really nothing there except a sign.
There's a sign, I think it's like a little pamphlet, probably their hours, I would imagine. We'll move that over to our other thing. And we'll pull those ballards and maybe gain a spot, possibly.
Yes.
Might have to go look at that, but okay. I'll get the guys working on that, and hopefully Yarts knows that, and will be okay with us moving.
So I'll let them know. They don't start service here until May, so
okay.
We got a couple of weeks.
They will have a beautiful spot.
Yep. CDBG, we're supposed to be going out to bid really, really soon. We saw the 100% plans on that, so I know Caltrans has been the pain as of late, and I don't know what their deal is, but it's... That's our slow part right now. Fire department. I got the word that he's supposed to be there on February 10th to start the project.
Okay. Kitchen remodel.
Mm-hmm. They have all the equipment down below in their storage area, but apparently it'll start being installed on February 10th when he wraps up a park project out in Angels Kitchen.
So it says, I believe it when I see it.
I'm saying the same.
You can figure that out from my what's on my face. Well overdue, huh?
Yeah. I have a question. In all the news that came out about the fire down in the Los Angeles area and Palisades area and that kind of thing, there was a big brouhaha about them running out of water someplace. And I don't know how they ran out of water, but can that happen to us? If a campaign fire came through here, would we run out of water?
Right now, and this moment, yes.
This is bad.
Because we're running on AWS. Yeah. AWS does not produce enough water to maintain it. We had a leak in Groveland, which they found today finally, and it was probably, say, 25 to 30 gallons a minute.
Wow.
That was hurting us.
Yeah.
Just that little amount of water, because we're trying to keep up on a tank, and we're pushing 500 gallons a minute. You're saying you're using maybe 200 gallons a minute going to demand, maybe a little bit more, so you're not gaining any ground throughout a day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess.
But as of right now, yes. But during the summer, when we have the tunnel and everything like that, I wouldn't see us having a huge problem. The rim fire, we made it through. We supplied, you know, to aerial attack out there at the airport. And they were dipping and grabbing stuff out of that with the, you know, sky cranes and everything.
Under normal conditions, we'd be able to maintain it.
And there were two things, as I understand it, down there. There was an issue. One is that they just used so much water.
Right.
I mean, there was a lot of water being used. The reservoirs, we have large reservoirs. And there's also an elevation problem. We ran out of the ability, you know, their water was down here and some of the fire was up here.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, you know, they didn't have enough pressure to get, you know, substantial water.
Plus, you get a lot of houses burning down, their water's running.
Running out on the ground.
Out on the ground.
That's the dilemma you've got. If you look around, you've got dozens of people with their garden hoses going full blast. You've got people that have now installed these roof sprinkler systems. And do they work? It just kind of depends on how bad it is. But and then you've got somebody on a hydrant over here, and you add those numbers together, and you, in reality, you're planning on 2 to maybe 4 hours worth of hydrant operation time is all you have available. That's what you plan for. Is that fire hydrant is going to run at 1,500 gallons a minute for 2 hours. Well, if you can imagine, in that location, there were more than one fire hydrant being used and probably outstripped the capability of filling it pretty quickly. You know, plus losing power and, you know, generators going on and off. And
I just...
You lose houses too, and when a house burns down, it exposes all the internal plumbing, right? So if it burns a pipe, breaks something, it's just going to run onto the ground until, like Pete was saying, until you're not going to have any water left around. It burns multiple homes, and then people are leaving their garden hoses running. It's
every new home has sprinklers.
Yeah,
so the house burns down, goes off, it stays going off until the water shut off.
And if there's nothing behind it stopping it, it's just going to run until you don't have any.
Yes,
I didn't read all the way into it. I know they're saying hydrants weren't working and stuff like that. One thing you don't have to worry about here is pressure, that's for sure. In our area right here, our average pressure is 120 pounds. So
you look at some of those areas too, when you look at the videos, I don't know why I focus on, but they're using those wharf hydrants. You know, they've got a 2.5-inch standpipe coming up with a valve on the top. Yeah, you know, and that's
worthless.
That's all you got. So they're making 1950s, 1960s infrastructure.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, just
but if a fire breaks through and loses one of our plants, different story, right? We don't have the ability to pump, then we're kind of screwed, but we're limited to an extent, but I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
As long as an employee can stay here and maintain stuff and make it work, we're good. So
if you're confident, I'm confident.
Didn't really surprise me when they were running out of water. You know, when you look at whole neighborhoods being burned to the ground and stuff like that, that's going to really mess with the water.
Yeah, that's the reason that we had the issue with the subdivision, new residential subdivision being built directly adjacent to Pine Mountain Lake. I would have to assume that the closest fire hydrant in Pine Mountain Lake would be used to fight fire on those properties. I you know, you got to go to the closest hydrant to get water, or closest water source, whatever that may be. But anyway, I think this is a real eye-opener, this whole thing.
Yeah.
For planning purposes.
Thanks, Louis.
Oakland Hills Fire, they had all kinds of water problems, too, because they had storage fittings and everybody else had
I listened to a piece that said that was one of the two misinformation that went out over social media. There wasn't enough water in Plaza. And the other one was kind of interesting, real quickly. They were talking to the retired fire chief for L.A. County, and he was asking the reporter, he said, when you see a house fire, how many engines do you usually see there? And he fumbled and came up with three. And he said, so if you do the math, and there's about 7,000 homes that burned down, that means we need 26,000 fire engines. And he said, I don't think there are that many in the state of California. So the misinformation was a big piece of that.
Well, thanks.
Okay. Administrative Services Manager.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Michelle might jump in and help me. We didn't check her report on this agenda by accident, but if she wants to jump in, then I'm free to do so. But aside from daily administrative functions, we've been rather busy with a very hefty list of very important items that Jen left for us to take care of in her absence. And I would say between Pete and Michelle and I, we have had some major engagement and communications with close to 10 different consulting firms, our legal firms, all sorts of stuff for all the various things that we have already been able to get on previous agendas and then today's agendas and then going forward. So I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to achieve all of the items that were on that list before Jen gets back, and or we'll be in the process of implementing if the board chooses to do so. But a lot of the items that I was going to talk about are already on our agenda, so I'll wait for those items. Pete and I have been engaging with District 4 Supervisor Steve Reaper over the last several months and having lunch meetings and side meetings just to kind of get a good understanding of what the district is and what his role and how he could support the district and how vital this relationship is. Kind of like when we were trying to build that bridge with Pine Mountain Life. So it's just a really good relationship to have. And another engagement thing, Pete and I went down to Turlock a couple of weeks ago and presented an award that Pete accepted on behalf of TUD, or not TUD, TID, for their Technology Excellence Award. And it was really nice to meet with them. We spent about an hour with the general manager, and I didn't catch the other guy's title, but he was like the brains.
Water resources.
A really good opportunity to open that door for another relationship because of our
water.
Yes, exactly. So that was just a really good opportunity. I was glad I was part of that. And then I'm sure Pete's going to touch on it with his report, but our chapter meeting that we had yesterday had up to 22 attendees. There was maybe 5 online on the Zoom option. We did introduce Steve as a guest of honor, and he accepted and came, and they had more attendees this time than ever before. So it was a really good conversation about what all of the district, either the board of director that represented that district or the general manager, but they all were able to talk about what services they provide and some of the challenges that they are having. And some are just like funding related, some are non-county support, some were achievements. So it was just a really good all around the table discussion, and everybody left really happy. So That was a plus. And do you have anything else?
We're halfway through the year already. Crazy enough, I'm working on closing out a quarter two. And with that brings, going into the new calendar year, brings new payroll tax rates. So I'm working on that. Quarterly reports, 1099s and W-2s. So in addition to the meetings with Pete and Rachel and all the CalPERS items that are on the table today.
But we don't want to talk about CalPERS.
It just seems unstuff, guys.
Time's going by fast. I can't believe it. Halfway through the fiscal year. I'm also going to be working on the mid-year budget once I can get the second quarterly balanced out. So doing some mid-year budget adjustments. And I have that it.
Thank you.
GM report. Does some good check some of these projects off.
It really is.
Just because, you know, first thing in the morning, that seems to be the start of the day is what change orders, what reimbursement requests, what reports, what, you know, what contractor issue we have going on. And so it's nice to go and check somebody's job. To finish the thought with what Rachel was talking about with TID, we did plant the seed about an ongoing potential agreement for water out of Pine Mountain Lake or an emergency water supply. That would also be relevant, let's just say, the treatment plant went down at Big Creek, and we needed to keep the hydrants full. That's an emergency water source. And whether we were treating it or not, we could at least issue a boil water order. You know, if we couldn't meet standards, issue a boil water order and keep the system full by pumping out of Pine Mountain Lake and treating as fast as we could there, or if we just need to get more treatment capacity, it would be an additional thing for that. Huge deal. The manager was not familiar with that agreement. You know, we weren't there to talk about the agreement, so he didn't have everything out, but at least we raised the issue. Very, very just nice people. We just had a great time. We did very nicely, and their technology award was really amazing. They came up with the technology to be able to monitor the snow level, snow water content throughout their watershed that feeds the Dom Pedro, and monitor that by satellite and other means, and then perform a calculation based on weather and, you know, humidities and different things on how the reservoir level was going to operate, because they have to operate within the requirements of operating that dam for flood control purposes. In other words, they have to keep it down low enough and keep capacity in it during the winter time, so that if there's a flood, it doesn't overflow. That's really what the rationale is. And they've had two incidents where it's gone over, and so they're trying to affect a change in those regulations because they were able to operate the reservoir differently in the past couple of years because of that technology. And it allowed them to be able to generate $20 million, offset $20 million worth of electrical costs, generate hydroelectricity, just by knowing exactly what that reservoir level was going to do. They could run the hydroelectric longer and not have problems with recreation. They could run it like crazy to keep the level down. Anyway, it's just a very innovative technology that I think has application all throughout the world, you know, where you rely on snow melting and everything to control a reservoir. So nice to meet up with them. And hope to set up a meeting with them soon on water supply. In my report, it was pretty simple stuff. The first thing was CSDA has been working for a long time on National Special District Coalition. And that is basically an attempt to pull all of the districts together throughout the nation, because there are many other states that have special districts. Some of them don't even have state associations. And so they're not organized across state lines in any way. And this is an opportunity to get us all together to have much more impact Once we all get aligned and say the same things and do the, you know, like have share our technologies and our trainings and all of that, makes the industry stronger. It also gives us a better chance to get legislation passed federally that actually defines what a special district is. If you can believe it, there's no federal definition for special district. And that's the form of government that we are. So that it keeps us from getting some grant money. For example, community development block grant, we have to go through the county and be a subrecipient. We have to rely on getting in line for the money through the county. It's a huge amount of money that came out, that the county used ARPA money for huge amount of building improvements and renovations and equipment and, furnishings and different things that they had access to. We did not. We didn't have that same access to that money because we're not a city or county and there's no federal definition for district. So that legislation was out there. It was waiting for approval. It got hung up at after the election. Not much got done because of the change in administration. So we're going to have to go at it again from the beginning this next year. Now it is the National Special District Association. So it's a formal organization. And CSDA is taking the lead for the most part and moving that through. So it's going to be, may have to change the name of it to the Special District Grant Accessibility Act, because at least for the next, for the next administration, grant accessibility is not as important as services like fire and things like that. So, I know it's a big lift to change the name of that proposed law, but, we'll be working on that with CSDA. The other thing was just want to make you aware, TPPA, in case you haven't heard, we purchase our power through TPPA, Tuolumne Public Power Authority. When New Millennium was built, the county was able to form this joint powers authority that receives the power that is generated from that reservoir. They still have to pay PG&E to wheel the power across their infrastructure to us. and PG&E has significantly raised the rates by 176% on that wheeling cost. There's been some other offsets, so it's not going to be an impact this year, but I'm surprised the memo that they wrote didn't address the fact that in future years, those offsets are not going to be there. That rate, that's going to cause us an increase in electrical rates. We pay a lot less than the PG&E rates, which is excellent.
Have that.
Yeah. So we're just going to keep an eye on that, and hopefully we can get make sure that it doesn't go too far out of whack. Louis talked a little bit about the Caltrans permit. We are having to go through a process that's called the non-exemption exclusion, something like that. If you can believe it, Highway 120 has been declared as a freeway expressway. Limited access freeway expressway. What that means is that anybody who wants to build along Highway 120 in those areas or do anything has to go through so many hoops, and it's so expensive and such an extensive permitting process that that's why you don't see the projects coming forward. And there's been many projects that have been proposed on various properties, but because of the requirements to build the access, you got to widen the highway there, put in acceleration, deceleration lanes, signage, all that. We applied for an encroachment permit to replace our pipeline from Big Oak Flat to Groveland that parallels the highway. We got a response back that the permit is denied because it's prohibited to have a longitudinal encroachment. You can't have any encroachment paralleling the highway because it's not a highway, it's a freeway expressway. And so we have to go through a process to get that approval to get them to issue a permit. We're up against the timeline with the CDBG grant. We had to go out to bid. We have to get bids We're going to be getting bids here in another few weeks. The dilemma is the contractors aren't going to know what the requirements are because Caltrans won't issue a permit to tell us what the requirements are for construction. So the bids are going to go through the roof if we can't get that information to Caltrans prior to the bids being received.
And what size is the line that goes from Groveland to Big Lake Park?
8 inch.
8 inch?
Yeah.
Not enough.
Well.
Not enough.
Yeah.
It's going to be 8 inch.
Oh, what is it now?
Currently 6.
Yeah. It's, you know, it doesn't seem
8 inch,
we'll
talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I could say 5.
What size is the one coming down Harper?
That's 8 inch.
Is that same?
Yeah.
8 inch is pretty much a minimum line size now because you've got to have capacity for fire sprinklers and fire hydrants. And that's part of the dilemma with continuing to use water systems that were built in the 50s, 60s, 70s, is you didn't have fire sprinklers. And even though you're issuing permits and people are putting in fire sprinklers, there's no way to get enough water. No way to get enough water to them through the mains. When they all go off at the same time, and somebody's running a hydrant. So a lot of issues there. But an 8-inch main for us, everybody could be using water in Big Oak Flat, and the hydrant would still have the same amount of flow. Yeah, I mean, we're pushing the area here, actually.
The permit?
Yeah.
It's really sure. It's going to be hard to get a decent vehicle.
It'd be easier to just have it change from a freeway to a highway.
It's a good consideration. We have to know why it was changed to begin with. Dr. Duke York, a little bit yesterday, who used to be the public works director and been around forever. And they did that out of pressure to limit access to the highway. That was their means to, because they, it was partially the way that they acquired the property is by saying it was only going to be two lanes and blah, 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 and.
Well, there are two lane highways. I've never seen another two lane freeway.
Yeah, especially one that doesn't actually control access.
Right.
You can imagine some of the people that they had to negotiate with when they got the property. Well, also the city and county of San Francisco. I'd be curious if they didn't have something to do with it. They right there at the divide, they had to use part of the railroad right away to build the highway right on top of it. And somebody limited them to two lanes only and limited access. And the only way that Caltrans could do that is to declare it as a freeway expressway. And so that immediately puts no longitudinal encroachments unless you go through a process.
You got to go like this.
You can go across it, but then, but you can't go along it. You
can't go along it. So you
have to dig up the highway, which would be a problem. Well, we're off the highway, but we're still within their right of way. It's not, it doesn't matter. It's still.
Or should you say
the same? Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Existing pipe
there.
I can't just replace the existing pipe.
We are replacing the existing,
right,
but the conditions have changed. So we're working on it. We'll get it.
California.
We may have to delay the bids if we have a reasonable expectation that we're going to get the permit so that they can take care of the time to understand what the requirements are, because they're going to have to put K rail out, between the construction and the highway. In the construction area for the day and still provide access to the driveways and different things. So it's going to be a lot of requirements, So we're having to identify staging areas and everything else. Probably just have them stage everything here. Like staging is the equipment and materials.
Right.
And they got to process the materials. They're going to use the same.
Look at all that empty property behind the hardwood thing. Goes all the way back to the
roots. You can imagine that, there's a lot of time required and just contacting people, getting them to understand what you're trying to do, if it wasn't part of the environmental documents, if it wasn't reviewed, that you're going to store materials there, then you have to try to get your environmental consultant back out there to do a survey. You know what I mean? So having it here on our property that's been studied over and over is probably the easiest way. They'll just have to bring a processing through here. And it's probably easier to bring in import soil, you know. But that's been, you know, it stops you from progress, and it's all hands on until it's done. Because of the timeline with the CDBG as well. You know, we don't want to.
But that doesn't deter the resorts that are going there.
Because they're not in that zone. It's only through a corridor between Big Oak Flat and through Groveland. And I have to believe that Duke York knew something. Duke was, you know, with the county, and he said that it was a condition of acquisition of the property through the highway. They couldn't. They had to keep it the size that it is.
Turn out lanes and stuff like that for the.
They can do that under by doing the going through this process that we're going through.
I don't know if the timeline matches, but the California Broadband Initiative is putting broadband lines along the California highways right away, and that we're one of them. So
until they apply for their encroachment permit, and then the encroachment permit is denied, and then they meet with the 12 engineers at Caltrans to learn what they have to do. They may, Bob, seriously, they may abandon pieces of the project, you know, because of this kind of stuff. Caltrans is not kidding around. It's not a matter of that we're going to ride on somebody else's coattails. They just say no.
I'll keep my ears open. Absolutely. I go to the meetings for that, because Caltrans was told that they're going to do this along the highways. I don't know who told them, but.
What Caltrans will do is like they did with us. And they said, we will work the hardest we can to expedite your process. That's what they said. You know? And so we'll hopefully be able to get that.
I heard from Brandon too. He said that they also mentioned this will be the hardest process you ever have to deal with Caltrans.
Yep.
And what we're going through right now. By far the hardest one. I wasn't part of that meeting, but Brandon said, it's going to take us 6 months. And everybody, all their big heads.
People's driveways because they were there before the designated.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Exactly. Hey, Louis, don't pull a permit to redo your driveway.
Technically, that's not my driveway.
Well, okay. That's good.
That's what?
The people who owned my house before me, they actually had Caltrans came and set those little delineators right in their driveway, and they cut them down. They said, "You do that again, I'm going to fight you on it." And that's at the time there was some elderly folks that lived there, and they slammed emergency access. And so my driveway actually goes around behind the store. I have access to their property.
Really?
Yes. So if I'm going to do anything on my driveway, I'm doing it on the weekend.
So
I'll have a brand new approach on the weekend.
So that is, I'm going to, I'll end on the, talking back about fire hydrants and all that type of stuff. It's an unintended consequence. The lack of water in the fire hydrants is an unintended consequence of years and years of regulations, not investing in infrastructure and upsizing lines as more people connected and as more homes require fire sprinklers. You don't normally, you're not doing a calculation estimating how many of those fire sprinklers are going to be going off at the same time. You're assuming one. You're assuming one home is burning by itself, not 7,000. You know, I mean, it's impossible. You can't plan for that. We couldn't have enough water storage or pumping capacity. The water would go bad. We'd have, 230 million gallons of storage, if we were trying to fight 3,000 homes on fire. I think we'd be all out of here.
Yeah.
But it is important. is extremely important for these guys to have water supply in areas where a fire might occur, and which you never know what that is. The more fire hydrants, the more access to water close by, and the faster you can get something taken care of. You know, if you've got an extended issue, you run out of water in the truck, you know, you have a fire hydrant to be able to fill up, be able to use. And so we're going to continue to look for funding to upgrade and make sure that we can continue to add fire hydrants, and that we have capacity to be able to fight fire. And we'll be doing a hydraulic model, and the hydraulic model is going to identify areas in our water system where we might have pinch points or upside mains, or we're going to be doing a lot of planning in the next 5 years on things to make, and we will be considering, you're not going to consider every house burning, but you are going to consider a model where you have a number of homes where you've got a situation where you need water in multiple places in town. And we're in the process of putting out a press release on this project, because the project that we're doing, the waterline project on Harper connecting the blasts, is bringing fire flow for the first time to that area. They have not had hydrants that would operate over, I don't know, I mean, 300 gallons a minute, 400?
Yeah, we don't flat it. Got a 6-inch trunk, but everything branched off at 4 inches. So when you pull up a hydrant off of one of the sites like Ward's Ferry or Big Oak Road, you're sucking people with hot water heaters because you're at like maybe 350 gallons a minute. Maybe. And at that, you're affecting everybody in that area.
So when these two projects are done, it would be normal fire flow scenarios should be able to get 1,200 or 1,500 gallons a minute out of any given fire hydrant. And so we did have to cut back on the number of fire hydrants on this line because we had to get the line connected from top to bottom. And the bids were, 50% higher than the estimate and 50% higher than the funding we had available. But we'll make a plan, a capital improvement plan, to add those fire hydrants, add additional fire hydrants to the standard 600-foot separation. Right now there's 5 hydrants on that mile-long run. Mm-hmm. And we'll need to get you guys up there to see where they are and check them out and, enter them into your brain. But that's a great opportunity and good timing for us to put out that we've been planning for this, and that we are now implementing a system where we have some fire hydrants in place we didn't have them, and that we're improving the fire flow of the board to go flat. Also, that we can isolate, in an emergency situation, we can isolate Big Oak Flat from the rest of the system, and we'll have adequate storage and some additional supply with that well to be able to keep that charge up. And then we had an emergency where didn't have an interconnection with the Groveland system. So really good stuff from our public perspective.
What if the line that's in there right now between Big Oak Flat and Groveland, something happens, can we go in and fix it? Or
we can do pretty much anything out of it, Sandy.
We have an encroachment permit for emergency work.
Right.
Or maintenance.
But right? you just can't.
We can't put new. So
maintain doesn't include replacing.
No.
When we call it an emergency that we need to put all new in, it's an emergency. I would think so. I mean, that's an emergency. We need to get water flow down there now.
Yeah.
Could we maybe call it an emergency?
If it gets delayed out too far, I'm just going to go political and see if we can put political pressure on them to issue the exemption or whatever it is, exclusion. All we got to do is get the exclusion, the permits right behind it. That's not a problem. That's good.
And it's not the whole main.
No.
That's in there right away. There's only certain sections of it. So it's throwing the whole process out when you have maybe, say, a couple thousand feet that might be within their right away at 8,000 feet.
So it's an emergency.
Yeah, but we are planning for the future, and we're taking a lot of actions to make sure that we have adequate supply, even in emergency conditions, and that we have adequate fire hydrant, and that the system works.
You guys have a lot of fun with that.
I wonder if the Palisades and what all stuff is going to have any impact on the outcome of this sort of thing.
Yeah,
unless we say something.
I mean, it seems like you think that he would make them at least go under efficient people.
Yeah. There's definitely going to be some regulation and reporting that comes at it.
Yeah.
Every year the state sends out, I don't even know how many different reports. So it's going to change.
And hopefully it's not things that have unintended consequences, like you have to have storage for 10 hours of firefighting.
Yeah.
And then you got to build, and we couldn't do we could do it, but we'd be flushing that water out of there and wasting it every. The interesting fact about water system design and construction and the laws that govern us is that we're not required when we put in a new water system, replace the existing, whatever we do, we're not required to put in fire hydrants. There's no standard that says that when you build a water system, you put in fire hydrants. It's just been the way that it is over the years. And the state even made it difficult for a long time. They weren't funding the cost of fire hydrants. If you got a water system grant because you had a defect with your system or you were a disadvantaged community, you got money to replace the system, but you had to fund your own hydrants on that system because. But at TUD, what we did is we called them flushing stations. and that's the way we put it on the bid schedule. And that
and the toilet handles just a little warm or wet.
But it was, the regulations got ahead of it. Anyway, so the fact that I think that that's something that's probably going to come from it too, is it's going to be a standard design now.
And I'd like to meet the idiot that thinks of all this crap.
It's just they don't think of it. I'm sure there's a committee involved. It's not just one of
you. You find it and everything on engines. How many times have you gone to work on your engine and it's like, who designed this? Mm-hmm. You know?
Maybe let me travel better.
Yeah. Okay. I'm done. Now, unless you want me to keep going, I'll probably say what I was talking about. Okay, on a brighter note, move on to proclamations.
Yes.
And the first one we have here is recognition of
Louis
Melchor for his 18 years of wearing a Raider hat. Or his 18 years to the Groveland Community Services District. Mr. Camp handled it. That's a long one.
Yeah, it is.
Don't cry,
Louis.
No, it hurts. No. But gosh.
If I had to do what Louis has to do, I don't know. He's been the one that has kept me out of the operation. Which when you get bogged down in that kind of stuff, you can't do all the other stuff. You can't think about the future of water supply and the future of the infrastructure and funding for it and compliance with future regulations and everything that we as management are able to do when you have good people. I say it all the time, we've got absolutely the best staff that I've ever worked with and people like Louis that just are so dedicated every minute of every day and never question where his heart is in this. Just does a fantastic job and really cares about the people, the service, the, you know, the productivity, the quality of work, every minute of every day, and I appreciate them with everything I have.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just from, like, when I first started being the office clerk, Louis was somebody that I could go to right away for customer service, and he had all the answers to every question. And then as I started progressing in my career here, I was thrown into bigger responsibilities, and it still seemed that Louis was the go-to person to help figure out the why and the reason and just the answer to everything, or why things function in the way that they do. And he's there that way for everybody here at the district. He's just a very, very good leader and supervisor, and we're very lucky to have him.
Yeah.
He's doing his job. He's our chief water treatment plant operator right now, too.
Yes.
Because we haven't been able to get staff.
Yeah, we miss you. We never see you anymore. You're not here to answer all of our questions.
Yeah. Are you busy, Louie?
Just a little right now. AWS, it's myself and Anthony. He takes on the morning, afternoon shift, and then I go over there running and leave. So,
wow.
It's good to have a part-time job.
Yeah, I do miss my time in the office.
So I've been on the board for 13 years. John has been longer. I think we both remember Louis was here as a relatively young and when he was given the opportunity to actually do things, he has blossomed into a fine example of a modern management, technical management person.
Key.
And leader. Because everybody, I think that's one of the things you can just sort of tell. It's not just the office staff that likes him. Everybody respects his expertise. Thank you, Louis.
No, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Definitely a key individual that without you, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
You guys would be fine.
He almost changed his course.
Yeah,
long after I got here, you know.
In fact, I was walking in the front door going to talk to Pete about making sure we tried to keep Louis Melcher here. And I walked in, and who was talking to Louis Melcher? Pete, about staying here. And he's been here ever since, because we couldn't lose him. We couldn't afford to lose him at that particular point.
Well, I had a job with him and started talking to Pete. It wasn't about money. It was just kind of about the respect and how you felt from the board. You know, at points in my career here, like the board was, it was horrible.
Tell me about
the employees were nothing to the board, right?
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like we're monkeys could do all the job, and kept hearing that, right? And like you start just taking, you're like, all right, I'm gonna go here. And but Pete came on, and the board changed, and you could see the difference. And then finally, I was like, you know what? Everybody here was something that I really did appreciate too. So I was like, well, home and waved my office at all. We're gonna keep going with the listening.
Back then,
what was that one?
Yeah,
more
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We needed you,
yeah,
and
we did.
And you know, you have a place here.
I need all you in.
A lot of the folks on the board didn't realize that without the employees, without the people like Lily, this place is nothing.
There is no PTSD.
You know, it was, well, we're going to take their retirement away. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And it's like, how can you do, you know, this is a career. This is McDonald's. You know, and that's what a lot of those folks wanted to treat it, and it was horrible. I hated it.
That's just definitely better now. Yeah. I don't know if some of the folks know how much responsibility comes with running a place like this.
Yeah,
you're maintaining health and safety of people,
right.
People, water, wastewater, it's, you know, fire, and it's there's a lot of, like, when you start getting the upper management and stuff, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders, because you have to understand what you're doing and how you want to you know, protect what we're trying to do and making sure a good product comes out of it, you know? Yeah. So
that,
you don't just go home at night and not think about this place, that's for sure.
That used to always kind of set me back. It's like, how can you think of it this way? You're drinking the water. It's coming. It's the water that's coming out of your tap. Is these folks are in charge of it. Wouldn't you want to make sure they're professional? And, you know, and it was horrible back then.
A lot of yelling and screaming going on at the board.
Oh, yeah.
We have one more. So we have one more recognition, which is recognition of Andrew Marshall for his 7 years of service in the Pacific Pacific.
Yep.
The guy we've been talking about in the interview.
Yeah, no, it's Drew, when he came on, it was kind of like one of those moments like, all right, known Drew. I worked with him at the Forest Service, and bringing him on was, you know, I was excited about it. And Jen was the one that kind of, you know, brought up, so, hey, I think Drew would fit in very well here. And I believe so. And so he came on, and, you know, he's, he was always had the attitude of, I'll do whatever you want me to do. No, didn't second guess you, didn't, you know, complain or moan about anything. He just jumped right in and just take over. And so he's been like that. That's why he's one of our lead guys. Kind of gives Andy a moment here and there, you know, if Andy wants to go out of town, Drew's in charge of the staff and everything keeps going smoothly. And 7 years is pretty exciting, actually, because there for a while, like the average year of somebody, when I think when Peak first came on, was 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good to start seeing these five and seven, tens, like, it means we're doing something right. And it comes up from just leadership. It comes from the board and how, you know, we see our people. And so, but Drew is, I'm hoping that he'll be here his whole career and see that guy blossom into, like, you know, the higher up at one point when some people walk out, you know, they're retired. So, but he's a good hand in hand. He's very dedicated to this place as well. And it's awesome. Smart individual and well-rounded.
Good. When I walked in, and that was 5 years ago, 5 years?
Yeah.
I can't even count.
More than seven?
I didn't even know it was 10. I haven't counted. But I would have thought he'd been in the business for a long time.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Wonderful people, really.
And we're very lucky with people we have.
We are.
Mm-hmm. Have some more help.
Well, the key thing too is to start seeing some of the retention, not just that, but some people who've been in this community for a long time too. And that is not the biggest thing, but it's huge because you're putting back into somewhere where you lived and grew up. And to see a lot of the people that lived in this community still working here, and it's good to see, in my opinion. With, you know, here, we're all family, friends, and, you know, so it's awesome.
Alrighty, moving on, consent calendar.
Can I get a motion?
I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second.
No, I can't lay on
that. I'll make a motion that we approve the consent calendar.
I'll second.
It's just tradition. The president can actually make it. All right, so it's moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar. Your discussion.
Stay safe,
guys.
Guys.
Thank you.
Careful out there.
Bye bye.
You can't leave.
Hey, you know me. Hey, Graceland had a good time over at our house today.
That's good.
All in favor?
Oh, hi.
Hi. I'm sorry.
Is that some color? Is it blue?
Yeah, side or
you have to say hi.
He's dark.
Okay.
Oh, that's towels with my
question. Okay, and there is no old business, so we'll move into discussion of action items. The first one being adoption of a resolution approving the district's revised employee handbook. We did not mean to put so much reading out there for you by any means. Any policy that we adopt is the responsibility of the board to take action on that policy. This was not even included in the Written material is 110 pages long. It's significantly redlined.
Over 300 comments. This document.
it's honestly the first time that I've sent something that was this much of got this much legal counsel comment. Usually there's just a few comments here and there. This had, like Rachel said, hundreds of claims that we had to address. It took a huge amount of time, probably a week of my time without anything else on my mind during an extended period, which was really tough to get to this point. I think we've got a good product. It's not a final version, and I say that just because we've got there will be some additional changes just because we've got some additional comments from legal counsel where we have to decide one way or the other. For example, if we're going to offer a lactation room, or are we not?
What?
Lactation? No. No, we have to allow time for it, but you don't have to create one.
Oh.
But it's just, I mean, I bring that up just because it was one of the first comments that he made. So things for us to consider in additional revisions in the future. I can't say this is going to live, 10 years without revision. It's a very
not as long as the legislature still.
Right. Yeah. We did address some ambiguities and some other things that could have caused us some issues. We certainly want to keep, or I should say, keep SDRMA happy. Get SDRMA happy with their employment practices and everything else. It's a big part of what we do. This is also, this manual also is a good introductory document for new employees to sit down with them and have them go through it and be oriented about what the expectations of the district are, what benefits we offer and why. And
well, I followed that link, see what it was, and I said, there is no way I can go through this and make any sense out of it. It was just that many red marks.
Well, it's particularly hard to read red one.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to kind of have it so you can see what's been changed. But it's a terrible way. I mean, it's be better to print a black letter copy of it and just read it. I mean, it should make sense then. I mean, it's the employee handbook. It's just you can't keep track of what's changing.
Right.
If you do it that way.
So I think once we get through accepting all of the track changes, then we would like to bring it back for you guys to read the.
Right. If I understood it, I mean, so all the resolution says we're approving the handbook. The implication in the discussion here was that there are still going to be more revisions, some cleanup sorts of things, and we'll probably be approving it again.
Yes, you're correct.
We just need to make some changes right away.
Yeah,
just as far as
it's a thing you can revise. It's not the Bible, and you can change the Bible too, actually. But it's
So if that's okay with you, we can accept these, make the revisions, and then bring it back in February.
It's a change. It becomes effective when we approve it.
Great.
The things that are the changes,
okay.
And then we can look at the remaining.
What do we need to do to it now?
Approve it.
And I'll make a motion. I move to adopt resolution 01-2025 approving the district revisions to the employee handbook.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve whatever the resolution number is,
01-2025.
First one ever. Let me
just further discussion.
I just want to assure you that. As far as any changes to the benefits that we know, the holidays that we know, those kind of things, there wasn't anything added or removed from this that affect the MOU. It actually marries the two of them together.
It's in the MOU, so the MOU
right.
is going
yeah.
to control it.
And so there's no surprises, in other words. You're not approving anything that is going to surprise you that we added some 15 days off for
enjoying
a cruise. No. That's all I wanted to say is I mean I know it's an annual cruise.
Yeah.
CSD employee cruise.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve resolution. Adopt resolution 01-2025. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Because that is approved for nothing. This month has been, for a holiday month,
ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
It's been like nine as far as since the end of our, or December until now. It's been nine holidays.
No, but I mean, work
well, for
I mean,
us, just for
trying
us.
To get all of this. We didn't enjoy
no, our days off.
No, we didn't.
Many of us worked through holidays, but it wasn't, a thumb on people to get it. Just
it's
people
just
had things to get done, so they could really
we
relax.
Have to work. We have to get this over the deadline.
Yes, we yeah.
It's called dedication.
Okay,
there's one more.
It's Monday.
On to item B. Adoption of a resolution approving an amendment to the agreement with NBS Consulting for additional professional consulting tasks. It's a long sentence related to development of a fire services special tax measure for future ballot, comma, approval and implementation of development impact fees for fire and park services, comma, approval and implementation of updated water and sewer connection capacity fees for new development, comma, and implementation outreach assistance with a new water and sewer rate schedule. So approving an amendment to the agreement with NBS for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That was big. I didn't want to just say that in the title and the resolution title but for transparency purposes, but that's really what that was. It is a lot of work, and it's it's one thing to do the background on a rate study. Oh, I want to let you know that we have Sarah Mayers also from MBS that has joined us now from her lovely office. And she's been an extremely good help in getting us to this point and corralling all the, the intro people on her side as well within MBS that have worked on these various studies. This is not the, other than the fire tax, these studies are pretty well done. The fire tax, we haven't really done the calculation on, we haven't done the language, those types of things. We haven't done any polling. But for the water and sewer rates, we have a rate model that needs to be updated, needs to be analyzed. We need to make sure we've got some additional tasks associated with the capital improvement plan, just because it came out to be so much money. And so we've got some serious consideration before we roll this out to the public. Because if you remember, when you roll it out to the public, they take it as fact and they'll repeat what you said a million times and can throw off the message of the whole thing. And that we want to make sure that we not only can all put our hands on this rate model and say this, we've looked at everything and this is a great way to do it. And at the same time have some assistance with some long-term outreach as far as our rates go. Because we've had a big change. We've had a big change in the customer base, a lot of turnover, and a lot of people just don't understand the rates because they pay Bay Area rates, and ours are much different.
Sometimes higher.
They are higher. Yeah, but that's the nature of the beach because they've got thousands of people per square mile, where we've got hundreds. And the rate model, the spreadsheet is there. It's going to take quite a bit to go through the. Basically, a year and a half worth of budget from when we started the process, get that updated, and then make sure that our 10-year look ahead is good, and then develop the outreach stuff and have a couple of board meetings in between to make sure that we all agree with the methodology.
We're going to have one of the big open board meetings for that.
Be a couple. And Sarah can talk more about that.
Okay.
I'll turn it over in just a second. The fire tax is one that we attempted to do ourselves because at the time that we went out for request for proposals, MBS was committed to a number of big projects that were taking up their time. They don't want to sacrifice quality of work or schedule. And so they did not propose on that before. We had one proposal and it was very high to the point where we just chose to do it in-house. Then we had a maternity leave. And we had other, you know, all the projects come together at the same time. No excuses, but we just couldn't get it over the finish line. Get the methodology, do the outreach, make sure we have a successful measure that we have to have for the fire tax. MBS can help us get there. And then on the development impact fees and the connection fees, it's just a matter of updating the sheets, doing outreach, doing the administrative processes to get those implemented, work through the collection agreement on the development impact fees with the county, and just basically being an extension of staff to get those implemented. You know, prepare resolutions for the board, prepare staff reports. Let's take some things out of our hands so that they can actually be done. So Sarah, I said a million things in a few minutes. I went all around in circles, whipped it up, but feel free to add anything that, that you have, or we can just ask questions from the board.
Yeah, I think you covered it, Pete. Thank you. Happy to be here to chat with you about the scope of work and any questions you might have. So if you do have questions, let me know. Otherwise, I think Pete did a great job of kind of recapping where we're at with finishing out the rate study, finishing out the development impact fees, and then adding in the parcel tax services.
Want me to read the move for
a... I'm just gonna, it's a nice presentation, and I mean, you have to face the fact that the amount of paperwork associated with doing anything is large, and before you even get to do anything, and you know, I have really no way of saying or having an opinion about is this a good price or a bad price or whatever, but there's no question we have to have somebody else help us out on it because there's no way it's all going to get done otherwise. Everybody here already has jobs. Or they have other jobs besides doing this stuff, and trying to do it on the cheap is leads to not happening at all. So
it usually doesn't end up with a good product.
This has to.
I will assume that these are reasonable numbers.
We have to pass
because y'all have looked at them.
Our fire department, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I will entertain a motion.
I move.
Oh, go ahead.
I move to adopt resolution 02-2025 approving an amendment to the agreement with NBS Consulting for additional professional consulting tasks related to development of a fire services special tax measure for a future ballot, approval and implementation of development impact fees for fire and park services, approval and implementation of updated water and sewer connection / capacity fees for new development, and implementation / outreach assistance with a new water and sewer rate schedule.
I'll second.
Good. That was very good. I want to applaud. We were wondering who was going to make that motion.
But I can't wait to see
who's going to do it. Did I
count
enough?
Good job.
Great.
I was going to try. Good job.
It's definitely moved and seconded to adopt resolution 02-2025 with that title. which has already been read once. Are there any comments? I do have one someplace in here. I'm pretty sure I saw that there was a not to exceed number.
Yeah, there's a not
it's
to
in the resolution. It's this
actually in the resolution.
Page 44.
Yeah, good. The agreement, and what I did is I basically just totaled up the consulting fees, a one in-person meeting, and the total amount of the estimated expenses for each one, and then added an $8,000 contingency, which is less than 10%. But if we were able to keep the expenses under control, then that'll increase our contingency amount. And worst case scenario, if we run over it, likely not going to be very much. We're going to know why, and we'll bring it back to the board.
Sounds good.
We're ready. And we'll be seeing that in the budget revision, I'm sure.
So last time it started out at 17% the linear and then it went to 5%, 2%. That. So over a 5-year period, what's the estimated cost of this one going to be? Do you have any idea?
We do have like the rate model. I don't know if you want to speak on behalf of that, Sarah, like any of the projections that you already have.
We're actually in the middle of updating the rate model right now with some new financial data. So and that'll all, you know, start to come back to the board. But in terms of the projections on the actual like the water and sewer rates, and I apologize, it was a little bit difficult to hear the question, but in terms of kind of projections on the actual water and sewer rates that we're looking at, I don't think we're quite ready to share that information given the updates that are currently happening with the models.
So we did, when we first went in to an agreement with them at the beginning of the year, we could get everything out to them, and then it's just been, things have changed financially for us, so we had to resubmit just about a month and a half ago or so. We submitted some financials, so that's
really, really good question. And that's, you know, because that's the hopefully the flexibility that we do have. You know, ultimately it would be best if it was even across, you know, if we could do it even across the board. That's going to be a conversation internally with the finances on what we know we have to get done in the first year, and whether you know, whether spreading that out even across those years, if we can comfortably make it happen. The reason that most entities front load them is because they've waited to the point where they really need it, and so they have to get the money moving right away. So anyway, we'll see. We'll definitely we'll have a good conversation about
sure,
that. That's going to be an important board policy level discussion, as you know, if we can even it out. We'll have all that stuff ready for you.
What do you do?
Hopefully, this. Any other comments or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so we have approval 4-0. You just bought yourself some work, Sarah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Super happy to continue working with you all. We always appreciate working with Groveland.
Yeah, got some good things. You know, our last rates that we went through in both water and sewer have leveraged, you know, $30 million. The reason we're worked to death right now is because we're either working on or wrapping up $30 million worth of projects that we could not have done if we hadn't increased the rates, you know, this last time. And we told the public that, and now they've seen it. Now they're going to continue to see it. So we may not be able to leverage that much grants going forward because they're drying up, but we can maintain our assets and get going the right way.
I have a quick question. Is there a lot of fire departments going for extra money right now? And if you've seen how are they people
going ahead and voting for it, or what's?
Yeah, I could actually send you some statistics from the November election. There were a record number of measures placed on the ballot by local agencies. Some of those obviously cities, some special districts, but many of them were for public safety funding, and by and large, they were passing. So really, really positive. People are certainly seeing the need for additional funding for fire services. And we obviously would not wish to have big fire events like we're seeing in Southern California right now, but that certainly puts this issue to the top of people's minds. And I know, in your community, there is fire danger, significant fire danger, and a significant concern. So hopefully people will recognize that, but there are many other local measures being put out, and many of those are being approved.
Yeah, those statistics would be great. Love to distribute those. I think CSDA produced some too. Yeah, great.
Yeah, there's a gentleman named Michael Coleman, California City Finance, who always does an election recap every year on his website. And he has all of that information kind of right there. He consolidates for all of the counties across California. So that's a great resource to be able to see that information at a big picture level, and then you can kind of click down and get to some of the detail there. But if you don't have that website, I can forward it to you.
Certainly need a lot of talking points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, so for that, thank you.
Thank you.
Thinking about it.
For her?
No, thank you, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay. The water bill insert that we received this time, because we didn't get something accomplished in October.
Wait, that's the
Took
idea you
another
had
10
mentioned.
days or something.
Yeah,
say that again. Sorry, I was reading the text.
The insert that was
Water,
in the
I think it was a
notes
water
about
quality thing in time. Oh, no, it's
the lead
the
copper thing.
lead copper.
Lead
Yes.
copper thing. Yeah.
It absolutely drives me nuts, so we had to put that in your guys'
Yeah, sure
thing.
did.
But yeah, it was just because the survey needed to be conducted by October 15th. We didn't get it done because it wasn't just our side, it was customer-based side too. And the state EPA put that on us to make sure that we did the inspection on the customer side and we didn't have it completed. We knew that there was no lead involved in it, but they still made us put that letter out. So they.
What the letter didn't say was that there was no lead,
So, right.
which it could have said, but would have answered a bunch of questions.
Did they tell you how to specifically write it?
Yeah,
They did,
it was a
yes.
template, and we had to just fill in. It was more like
Oh,
name,
We didn't have to
actual.
use the whole thing either. There was
Yeah.
only one section that we had to
Oh,
pull
so it
out.
was a template. Because
Yes.
I if I had been writing the letter, I would have phrased it a little differently. Since
Yeah, no, it was
we
that
didn't
was
get it
written
done
by
by
the.
October 15th, but we did complete it by November 7th, and then go on from there.
When Megan sent it to me for approval, I was like, yeah, it's fine, except for the fact that we have to send it out. You know, like, it's just what they gave us.
Yeah, they don't want you to water it down.
No.
Then it completely changes the message.
Well, I mean, it's too bad you couldn't put in there that it was a dual, two parts were involved with coming to the
We have,
results.
I've already did it on our side a couple of years ago through an annual report we do electronically with the state, but then it went into the customer base side. And so it almost seemed like they wanted us to go and physically inspect people's homes. We're like, we can't go on people's property. So we did the inspection at the meter itself, and we're able to see what we could see. And then we went by building years with codes where lead was not acceptable anymore and all that. We could write some of that stuff off. So there was a box that we could check, but we physically had to go to every meter and dig it up to see what kind of service line was coming out the backside of it. So,
Well,
anyways.
it
Thank
does say, did you say,
How many of them?
and I'm sorry I walked in that way, but you had said something about
On
it
meters? Yeah.
pushing the, it said it
We have
contained lead. It
32 to
does say that
56.
all
I know
multiple
that, but you have
service
to do
lines have been
all of
identified
them.
as not.
Every single one of them.
It's
But it's on
just,
page two,
I think
a
it's
lot
just
of it
stupid
already.
inch.
Well,
Yeah,
we
you had to
we
dig up
wouldn't have wanted
all
to.
We
of
have
it.
multiple
Oh,
conversations going
yeah.
on.
But the Yeah, sorry about that. Those are those regulations, and it's the same with the water conservation stuff. We've got they added in the last 2 years, there's been three new regulatory requirements that are for urban water suppliers, which we are by what, 100 connections or something. And so we have to meet the same requirements as LA Department of Water and Power and City and County of San Francisco, where, you know, across the, well, TVs are more just, but I mean, most small systems don't have to do that. Those three requirements take probably among the three of them $100,000 in time and consulting fees and everything else, and produce zero in terms of benefit. Zero. I mean, they're either water conservation related or you know, lead, for those that have lead in their systems, which we don't. So,
okay.
I think I'm going to ask, I don't know if Ronnie's thinking, but see if we can do a brief clarification piece. We can do anything we want on social media and in outreach and saying it's a state mandate, the state made us do it, you know.
Yeah.
We can't say things like they're stupid for doing that, and there's no way that it could be in your water. But we can say
we can say there is no lead.
Yeah, we test for lead.
We do test for lead. It's a requirement.
It's a regular,
it's lead and copper, and we can't change those locations. So if somebody passes away or somebody sells their property, and we call them up and say, "Yo, we want to do it," then we can go to the state, and it's really hard to get them to change those locations that we've been pulling those samples from. But we haven't had any hits. We did get one from the school, but we took it off right outside their backflow device, which was an lead-free device. So we ended up just changing it out for them and putting a lead-free device in there. But you can't run any water on this sample at all. The first sample that comes off has to be, or the first time that faucet runs is when you're taking the sample. So when it's just sitting in that backflow, it just, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's nothing in our system. Like, we've never had a hit anywhere else, so.
Well, it's too bad you can't say in social media that it's the public that is making things difficult. It was the public that made it difficult to get grant money. It was the public's response to throwing out those forms. And you guys did door to door.
We can say that. We can say that without saying that.
Yeah. We'll work on that, because I think it would be good to ramp up some of the stuff. I mean, because it has to do with the rates too.
Yeah.
Let's not do it.
Sure.
Cost of money. You know, in reality, your rates, the proposal, it's going to include the addition of a regulatory compliance person, another staff person, just to handle regulatory compliance in the water and sewer systems. It has to. I can't put that on Louis. There's no possible way.
Well, there's a new
lockdown with it 100%.
There's a new report that just came out, and they had no idea how to even get the information they needed. They didn't even really know what the information they needed, but they gave us a deadline of January 1st. Didn't hit it. But I've been dealing with the engineers on it, and I showed Pete that information. And Angela Stinger, she's been talking with the state about this new, it's a conservation report in a sense for people irrigating land and fields and whatever, their yards, whatever it may be. But there's a list of stuff. She goes, you might not have all of it implemented now, but you will be required to implement most of the stuff on this list.
I just looked down the first couple of bullets. We have to quantify the square feet of properties that are irrigated outside. And the change in that every year. So every square foot of lawn, every square foot of vegetable garden, everything. What is set targets for it and set targets for reduction. Quantify you have to list your top 10% of water consuming properties, and you have to monitor those, and you have to get them under control. Here we go. We just
so have another staff. Department.
It's a control state.
Yeah. It is. And
it's unfortunate.
They actually, we have a number, right? The state did some drone flyover and calculated how much square footage or area that they consider irrigatable. And so they gave us a number based on that. If we started superseding that number, or, you know, breaking that, they talk about fines. And so it's like, we got to become water police pretty soon. And just, it's going to be, and this is just one part of it. There's five different sections to that whole, the whole report, which they haven't even put out yet.
In a forested area, how do they get a drone?
That's what they said. They said you could change your number by physically going out, like Pete says, and mapping out all our own stuff. But that's going to cost a crap load of money.
Oh, so yeah.
We'll use their number. So, anyways.
I mean, we're actually smiling about it. We're not bearing bad news. We're just telling you that we have to come up with another.
It's good the public will be aware of it because they don't have any idea
what we go through.
Well, they had no idea what they wanted either, and I was trying to deal with it at first, and I never talked to Pete. They sent back something finally saying, well, you can fill out this one section, but you might want to send the rest of your legal team to see if it's even doable or even needs to be done, or they even want to do it. And it's like,
so they want us to.
It was really weird.
They were wanting us to respond by the deadline, even though they didn't know what they wanted as a response,
or if it was
so that they could tell their boss that they implemented this regulation by the deadline that they were given. And I'm serious. It's just like the CARB regulations, the zero emission vehicle, where they said we're going to do it no matter what you say. This was the same way. This the water conservation stuff is it's a political thing, and it's bad because they don't even know they haven't finished negotiating what the end result is. Promulgating the regulation, they haven't finished it. Well, they finished it, but they don't know how to implement it.
State wants
and monitor there. It. So I'm just telling you that's going to be part of our future.
We had one company that reached out and they kind of went over with us and they were able to kind of discuss what they're trying to go for and where they're going with this. And they're like, we can help you with all this information, all this stuff. It was about $30,000 a year just for this one report.
Just for that top 10 consumption list and how to get control.
Yeah, but we have to get, well, not just that, and the reporting part of it back to the state, but it's like, we have to get all the information. And we still have to do the legwork to give it to them, and they'll be all good.
They'll be all good.
I don't know, it's
plug the numbers into them.
Well, they better be.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Dennis. You just opened up a new can of worms. So.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
I need to talk to you before the meeting, but I guess is
what I need to do. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good thing, though. We'll be talking about
template, so that's why it's been so awkward. Like,
yeah, okay. Thank you very much, everybody.
We want to survey every piece of food logged out one of the steels. It's a landfill. It's.
Yeah. The ounces are on the package.
Well,
just kidding.
Sitting on.
Yeah, scaled in the store.
I asked Lady, how much do you get paid? And she says, I'm not going to tell you that. And I said, well, we don't get paid anything. So we're not doing it.
Okay.
Call back.
Item 6C, is it?
Moving on to our next item.
Yep.
Adoption of a resolution extending an agreement with Gilbert and Associates for accounting services for an additional year. Michelle, can you grab this one? You might kind of talk out for a bit.
Yes. So we currently use Gilbert CPA. They, in the past, prior to me coming, they would handle a lot of the financial transactions, most of the year end, and I'll do 100% of the audit. This last year, excuse me, I have been training with Gilbert, and I've taken on quite a bit of the workload to bring their services back in-house. Mm-hmm. Everything they do is pretty automated because that's all they do. So they have systems and programs to do year-end audits and create the nice financial reports. We don't have that. So this last year, I was training with her, Pam, who is at Gilbert, to take on all the reconciliations, recreate these spreadsheets so that I can report and tie everything up nicely to give to the auditor. Timing, she went out on maternity leave, other workload. We haven't been able to finish everything.
I've been working through a list of the items we've checked off quite a bit, but there's still some items that I need to take from them and learn from. And it's also something that only happens once a year. So we were thinking of it, we're trying to see if we can extend the contract for one more year, get that final training in. And then we were going to revisit this at the end of this audit and see if we can end the contract, save some of the funds, because we don't typically use them like we used to on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just trying to close them out and bring everything back in-house.
The previous contracts were 2 years.
2 years. So we're going to do a one-year extension, and it has been budgeted through this fiscal year. So we're going to look at it for the next fiscal year.
So I actually do have a question. And it has to do with how much they're charging us. When we first entered into the contract with them, which admittedly was several years ago, if I remember correctly, the first annual contract was $31,000. It was in that neighborhood. And now it's now for this extension, which is actually them winding down and handing it over to you, they want to charge us $45,000.
I believe I have to find the actual submittal, but the last resolution that we adopted, it was the 36,000 or something like that.
It had crept up a little bit.
And I don't remember what.
It seems a bit out of line, considering that they should be doing less and less as the year rolls on. This seems a little hot.
So, right. And last year when I came on, I started taking on more items. We asked about that. We could reduce the contract a little bit since we weren't using them. And then I asked them again before this renewal to see if there's something that we could do to reduce that cost. And they said that most of the time they concentrated on the year-end audit, and that's how they came up with their cost analysis. And it's not that every day-to-day questions that we used to ask, they wouldn't lower it. They said that the majority of their work is done during the audit time. When they have to bill.
So it's almost like the day-to-day question for free.
Kind of. That's what it seems like. So I've asked them twice to see if there's something we could do to lower that. So what we kind of came to is let's try to get this training finished, bring it back to me, and then we're going to revisit it before the next budget and see if we can go through and just finish out with them.
So it sounds like they've jacked the price up because they're assuming they're only going to get a half year's worth.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, 36, yeah. If it was 36,000, now it's 45,000. That's a big change for doing less.
I've taken on quite a bit.
Are you going to be able to continue to take that much on?
I'm going to have to find time. Yes.
I think, you know, in the near term, in the next 6 months, with the four different financial studies that we're completing and implementing, and you know, and the fact that we've got all of these projects that were, you know, going to be closing out in this fiscal year, a lot of this stuff, and you know, so they'll be working also on the single audit, right? The, mm-hmm. the federal single audit, which is just an additional requirement when you have over $500,000 in federal funds, like it is. I don't, you know, they may not have mentioned it in their scope of work, but they know the work is there. They're very familiar with what we're working on and what funding sources we have. And you know, if we want to, I can tell you, we can increase the amount of work that they do if we don't feel we're getting the right data. Because there's plenty of things that we're going to have to implement is in terms of, like, for example, procedures for the connection capacity fees. We really need to get them in a separate account. We need to have a system of applying those only to the capital expenditures that they're associated with, and not just in the general funds. I mean, I know I'm talking in circles about this thing, but if we're going to continue with them, I don't see that they're going to be sure. And I think we can get the work out and we can get the value. And then we'll just see what we can do in the next fiscal year.
Well, I move to adopt resolution 03-2025, extending an agreement with Gilbert and Associates for accounting services for the 2025 calendar year.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 03-2025, extending the PM Gilbert Associates for its funding services for the 2025 calendar year.
I don't really want to second.
Yeah.
I'll get everything as wrapped up as I can, you know.
So this is only going to take
a
little
more pressure.
Yeah.
It's not insulting on
you. It's just.
So this is the calendar. So this is only going to take them through one of
the whole entire
24-25 audit plus a single audit.
That's included. So this will go through December 2025, so we can use them after the audit is finished.
No, I understand. I just put it so it gets us one audit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus another 6 months of training for.
Yeah, I can.
Bringing things on board.
Anything
a single one at the same time, we see.
Yeah, it's at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we close up and the audit usually starts around September and it ends. This last audit ended, what, early November? So.
Okay. We can get the training each you need.
Yep.
It's like they're giving them that last jab at we're going to lose this contract, so we better just...
They've been a big help, though.
Great, though. They, yeah.
They,
yeah.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the original pricing on it, I thought was really good. So, for what we, you know, we went back when we added, but we brought them on board.
Yeah. And they have been.
When they've retired.
Anytime I have a question, they're back to me within an hour. We're going over things.
It was part of what surprised me. It was just their general pricing has been quite... plausible. It just seemed a little like a funny little jump.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the motion and second. Is there any further comment? Question? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And so that passes for nothing. And we move on to item D, which is comes back like a bad, whatever it is.
It's the last one. The last one.
Once again, this would be adopting a resolution of intention to prevent the services district health and retirement contract. Once again.
Do you want me to? I can give a short.
I think we probably know.
Okay.
When we did the previous version of this, you told.
Yeah. So once this gets signed, it'll go into effect next payroll. So the employees, the classic number of employees, will be happy. So final step.
Someone want to make a motion
this
on
is
this?
Not an oxymoron. Additional cost reduction of 2.5%.
The currently classic
employees
pay 2.5% towards the employer's portion.
Okay,
so
that's left over from a long time. No, it's just finding section 25.16 as being the employee sharing additional costs. You did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
your will was now my CalPERS retirement.
The portion you received.
Well,
your own didn't.
Yours didn't. I only double checked that, but I think
I thought I double checked that. They may have messed up on you. I don't think it's supposed to go down.
No. It's not supposed to go down?
No.
These are the cost of living in PERS.
Well, yeah, you know, that's one thing.
Let me double check.
Well, there's something to check on that. Something goes into effect as of the first of this year related to the Social Security.
Yeah,
but that went into effect in December.
But that was the thing where it moves.
I'll double check what I got last month and what I got this month. That's where I saw the difference. I'll double check. And I'll be on the phone with Rachel to give me a phone number to CalPERS.
I can give it to you before you call her. I'll give you the website and phone number.
Okay, I've never had a cost of living raise much for my CalPERS. I get it all from Cicero.
I got cost of living raises with them.
So I haven't got them. Maybe I'll get
ready. You just have a minuscule piece of that, right?
probably your CalPERS isn't a big part of the whole
retirement. No. My main retirement.
So it's there. It's there. You just don't notice that it's, you know, yeah, extra buck and a half or something.
Yeah. 50 cents. Okay.
Then we have a motion.
I move to
adopt. Or did we already have a motion?
Resolution 04-2025. Intention to amend the Groveland Community Services District's CalPERS retirement contract to provide Section 2516 employees sharing additional cost of reduction of 2.5% for classic local miscellaneous members.
I will second said motion.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to adopt resolution 04-2025, which I'm not going to read back again. Any further comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Yay.
Thank you.
So, I mean, that group of employees helped the district out quite a while ago when it was kind of a critical thing.
17, 18.
And then it's been hanging around like a bad smell. I mean, this is like a sore
thumb. No, it was 17 and 18?
Yeah, when I was looking at in the CalPERS, it was back in the...
I thought it was before that.
I thought it was like 08.
Oh,
when I first
started, right? Yeah,
at the time that all that was.
No, it was even before that. Wow, it was a stay afloat measure. It was before my. I mean, when we did the renegotiation of the contract in 2014 or whenever it was, 2015, someplace in there, the MOU, and it was already there. Mm-hmm. It just changed the number. You know, it's like.
Yeah, we did that to get a cost of living that year.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I like it was like 2010 maybe or something.
You know, it's quite a while.
Still before I came on.
Yeah.
Cost of living this year is terrible.
Oh, it's
pretty small.
Yeah.
Okay, so
well actually
did we go through the all in favor? Say it again.
Yeah,
all in favor.
Aye.
Okay, so broke for Bob, just to be sure. we really passed this cycle. Okay, next up we have a resolution updating section 2.20 longevity pay of the memorandum of understanding between Groveland Community Services District and the operating engineers local number 3 for the maintenance and operations.
Yes. So before you is updated language to section 2.20 longevity pay. As it's written right now, CalPERS says that it is not in compliance with the California Code of Regulation, therefore we cannot report it as special compensation. They state that longevity pay should be based solely on years of service and not performance. So the wording update that are before you take out that the member must be in good standing, have a positive review. And I also updated the language regarding the one-time true-up payment. They stated that if we were to include that one-time $1,500 payment, we would have to go back 10 years and any employee that was in our district that would have been eligible, we would have had to retroactively pay that.
Oh.
So we needed to update the wording so that we can report this as special compensation. It has been reviewed by CalPERS and our union rep, and everyone has approved it. So now it's in before you today.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of work with CalPERS right now, updating the wording on everything.
I'm sorry.
I think this is it.
Oh, do I do some negativity?
way back when, we actually went and talked to CalPERS a couple of times, but mostly it was about the unpaid, the liability for the firemen, for the former firemen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most obtuse discussion I've ever had, actually, with a anybody. And they knew what they were. I don't think they were. They weren't. It wasn't stonewalling. It was just trying to explain to me how can you think this way. And it's because they're actuaries. That's
nice.
They're number crunchers, probably statisticians, and have too many pocket protectors. You know, with too many candles with different colors and.
Clip-on sunglasses.
So it's the nature of what they're doing is the problem. It isn't the people. It's the fact that pension actuary stuff is just really confusing.
And nothing's quick. I've also been working on it. You know, I haven't brought anything before the board. I've been working on this since October as well. So it's finally been all approved. Ready
numbers.
To go.
Very, very
tough
to work with,
huh?
Yeah,
really
so
confusing.
That's yes. Okay, have we voted on this yet? Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah.
I move to adopt resolution 05-2025, updating section 2.20, longevity pay of the memorandum of understanding between Groveland Community Services District and the operating engineer's local number 3 for the maintenance and operations unit.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the resolution. 5-2025. And is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And good day. That passes 4-0. And unless there are any director comments that the director wants to make.
Why do we have to fill out this form?
Are you going back to Form 7?
You started the meeting.
Other director comments.
How's the staff doing? How are they doing, Billy? What's the morale like in the staff?
What I see, pretty good. We did have a little flu bug going around there for a while, but that place seems good.
I mean, is there enough staff to do the job that's laid in front of you?
There's enough staff to do what they're assigned for the day. There's not enough staff to do additional work which needs to be done. We'll as part of the rates and the budget and all of that, we'll be having that conversation.
Okay.
How many vacancies do we have at the moment?
One.
That's the operator.
Four operations. Yeah.
That's the operations.
Water unit. Treatment. Yeah.
And they.
I thought there was a young lady over there.
Yeah, that's we hired her as the chief plant operator for the wastewater side.
Uh-huh.
She worked on her water cert.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we're still looking for one operator to fill, the other position. So
how long is we
actually had somebody hired. They went through the whole process and they backed out last minute.
How long would it take for somebody to get those certs?
Wastewater, you're looking at probably here.
Yeah.
If it's strictly on the wastewater side, maybe 2 years at like the fastest. Water's you take a couple good courses and go down and take your test, you can probably get within a year, a certification. The experience side of it, you need that.
Yeah, you couldn't turn them loose, even if they had a grade 3, if they haven't worked out.
Does she have any water, sir?
She used to. She let them go because she went strictly wastewater for building her 13 years. So, but the good news is all she has to do is retest. She doesn't even need the qualifications.
Was she a 2 or 3?
She was a 2, actually. But we're treatment 2. So distribution 3. But we have other certifications for that as well. So it's just mainly looking over the water treatment side.
So somebody
I'm sorry, we're talking. Okay, this is director comments. Then it's diverged. So the meeting is adjourned at 12:12.
Okay.